Daf is Shabbos Daf Chav Hey. We left off in Daf Chav Dalet and Beis. Elisha told me he got to the bottom line of Chav Dalet and Beis. The Mishnah said that you're not allowed to light b'shemen sreifa b'yom tov. So the Gemara wanted to know, why can't you light b'shemen sreifa b'yom tov? Because apparently you're not allowed to be soreif kadshim b'yom tov. What's shemen sreifa? Shemen sreifa is truma tamea that you have to burn. So since you're not allowed to be soreif kadshim b'yom tov, we assume you're not allowed to burn truma tamea on yantav either. So the Gemara has four explanations of why it is, or how we know, rather, that you're not allowed to burn kadshim on yantif, and therefore, by extension, truma tamei on yantif either. So the first three you did yesterday. The fourth explanation is Rav Ashi on the bottom line of Chav Dalet and Beis. Rav Ashi Amar Shabbason asei vavle yom tov asei velos asei vein asei doches los asei vasei. That we have a simple equation over here where we have a mitzvah asei of Shabbason, a mitzvah asei and los asei of Yom Tov. So the mitzvah asay of being shoves is not going to be doche the asay and los asay of Yom Tov. Meaning Yom Tov has a mitzvah asay of Shabbason of being shoves from malacha. Yom Tov has a mitzvah los asay of los asakal malacha that you're not allowed to do any malacha. And the mitzvah of burning truma is just a mitzvah asay. So when you have a mitzvah asay versus a mitzvah asay and a los asay, a combination of the two, the mitzvah Asay is not going to be doche the los asay vasay. Ein asay doche los asay vasay. There is discussion already in Rishonim, in Tosos, in Maseches Chulin, I believe, has a discussion about what the mechanics are. Tosos in Chulin Daf Kuf Memalv, about what the mechanics are of ein asay doche los asay vasay. Do we assume that generally speaking, asay is doche los asay? So when you have an asay versus los asay vasay, the asay is doche the los asay, and therefore you're left with the assay versus the assay, but an assay is not doche the assay. So the, let's say in this case, if you were to actually violate yantiv, if you were to actually burn the kachem on yantiv, you wouldn't be in violation of the los assay of yantiv because that's already been nidche by the assay of burning truma, the requirement to burn the truma. But you would be in violation of the assay of Yom Tov, of the Shabbason of Yom Tov. Or do we say no, that the fact that Yom Tov has an assay and a los assay associated with it shows us the relative chumrah of Yom Tov. That Yom Tov is a very severe thing, and since it's a very severe thing, no plain mitzvah assay is going to be docha this combination of assay and los assay. No part of it. It's not even docha the los assay. And therefore, if you go and you violate Yom Tov, if you burn this truma, you'd be even in violation of the los assay of yantiv, not just the assay of yantiv, but the los assay as well. So that's a question of just the mechanics of how the concept of ein assay docha los assay vassay works. I saw this morning the Gilyonei Ashas, Rabbi Yosef Engel, quotes from a Sefer Gor, first he quotes from the Urayim, then he quotes from a Sefer Gor Aryeh, that both discuss the following issue. Typically speaking, on yantiv, you're allowed to burn certain things, you're allowed to light fires on yantiv when it's l'tzoruch chal nefesh. But we know that when it comes to Yom Tov, not only does the Torah permit, which is explicit in the Torah, that you're allowed to do things l'tzorach ochel nefesh, but even things that aren't l'tzorach ochel nefesh, as long as there's a tzorach ktsas, there is a concept called mitoch shehutz l'tzorach hutrnami shelo l'tzorach ochel nefesh. That once we're going to allow cooking, let's say, for the sake of ochel nefesh, so we allow cooking or lighting a fire or enlarging a fire, let's say, shelo l'tzorach ochel nefesh, as long as there's a tzorach ktsas. So he raises a fundamental question. Why is this a violation of Yom Tov at all? Isn't the mitzvah of burning truma at least a tzorach ktsas? Why is a tzorach mitzvah not enough of a tzorach to make it mutter to do on Yom Tov? Why do we call it a violation of Yom Tov? Why is it subject to this tension of asay versus the los asay vasay? You're not a violation of Yom Tov at all. It's a tzorach ktsas. So he quotes from the Gur Aryeh, who writes somewhat cryptically, that saying that l'tzorach mitzvah is a tzorach yom tov is like saying tzorach machar is a tzorach yom tov. What is tzorach machar? Tzorach machar means a tzorach for the next day when it's not a tzorach yom tov at all. What do they have to do with each other? So Rav Yosef Engel explains that the general concept of mitoch works as follows. That the halacha is that a malacha is mutter when it's done l'tzorach ochel nefesh. When you have another tzorach that's also a tzorach yom, may not be ochel nefesh, but also a tzorach yom, that tzorach is ki'ilu, it's batel to the tzorach ochel nefesh. So it doesn't have its own identity, it just falls under the general heter of tzorach ochel nefesh. Achol Nefesh. So he says, but that would only work if it's something that can be viewed as secondary to Tzoruch Achol Nefesh, something that you can say is Batel to Tzoruch Achol Nefesh. But when the Tzoruch that you're trying to be Matir has its own identity, has its own Chashivus, and can't just become Batel to Tzoruch Achol Nefesh, because it might even be more important than a Tzoruch Achol Nefesh, so then it's not going to just fall into line with Tzoruch Achol Nefesh and become Mutter. A Tzoruch Mitzvah, there's no pasuk in the Torah that tells me Tzoruch Mitzvah is okay. The only way Tzoruch Mitzvah you'd be allowed to be Mechal Yantav is if it falls under the category of Tzoruch Achol Nefesh. The only way it could fall in that category is if it becomes Batel to Tzoruch Achol Nefesh. But it can't be Batel, it's too Chashuv in its own right. Tzoruch Mitzvah is too Chashuv. Very much the way Tzoruch Machar can't be Batel to Tzoruch Achol Nefesh, because for a different day. It's in its own category. It's in its own separate. It's its own separate topic. It doesn't belong together with Tzoruch Achol Nefesh. That's Rav Yosef Engel understands why we don't say Mitoch over here, and we say that the mitzvah of Yom Tov is going to override the mitzvah of burning kachim. So that's the fourth explanation of why it is. that one is not allowed to burn kachem and Yom Tov. So says Gemara, okay, now we have these four explanations, but what do we see? Be Yom Tov hu da asir, ha b'chol shapir dami. That it's asir to burn kachem or truma on Yom Tov, but during the week, it's obviously permissible and encouraged. My taima. Why? What's the reason that you're allowed to burn truma tameya? Where do we find that there is a mitzvah that it's appropriate to burn tamei truma on a weekday, on a regular day? So the Gemara is going to have three possibilities. Amar Rav, k'shem shemitzvah lisrof hakachem shenitmu, kach mitzvah lisrof es truma shenitmu, v'amar Torah b'shas b'yur tehani mimena. So Rav says, doesn't give a reason, just makes the statement that just like there's a mitzvah to burn kachem that became tamei, so too there's a mitzvah to burn truma that became tamei, and the Torah says, while you're burning it, you're allowed to get hana'ah from it. So the Gemara says, okay, Heichon Amra Torah. Where does the Torah say that you're allowed to burn truma that became tamei? That we're going to have three answers to. Before we get there, we just said, so too, it's a mitzvah to burn truma shenitmeis. If you look at Rashi, mitzvah lusav is truma shenitmeis, first skinny line, to damya lekodesh. Because if you're supposed to burn kodesh that became tamei, truma similar to kodesh, they're one and the same. V'od mishum takala. And furthermore, Rashi says, there's a very practical reason why you need to burn truma that became tamei. There is an Isidar Raisa for a Kohen to eat truma that became tamei. So if there's an Isidar Raisa to eat it, you don't want to leave it around the house. It could be, if someone would come to eat it, that would be a big problem. So Mishum Takala, we want to get rid of it. If you look at Tosfos though, Tosfos writes, Pirish Bekuntros, Mishum Delolesi Bali De Takala. If the whole reason is you just don't want to leave it around the house, why would you have to burn it? Can't you just flush it down the toilet? Can't you be mefarer v'zora l'ruach, like the Gemara talks about the possibility bechametz, to destroy it in some other way? Is it a din in burning, or it's a din in takala? Takala sounds like you just don't need it, you just don't want it around. So he says, according to Rashi, it's lav dafka sreifa, l'hua din sharbir, v'chein pasuk behedya pirish behedya be'elu overin. And Rashi in fact says that explicitly in Maseches Pesachim, that it's only that you're allowed to get rid of it in other ways. Velinir Abatol says, I disagree. The Bisov Tamura Katani, Truma Tamea Bahade and Israfin, it lists in Maseches Tamura those items that need to get burnt, and amongst the items that need to get burnt, and only burnt, not destroyed in any other way, is Truma Tamea. Viktani Hasam and Israfin lo yikavru. And it says explicitly over there, those things that need to get burnt may not be gotten rid of, may not be disposed of in some other way, like by burying them. Alkeinira de Bisrefa Dafka. It has to be Bisrefa. Mishum de damya le kodesh, because it's similar to kodesh. Umidrabanan, maybe that's only dindrabanan, but it certainly has to be bisrefa. Inami midar raisa midi ikri kodesh, or maybe it's even a dindar raisa. Maybe on a dar raisa level, the Torah will refer to truma as kodesh sometimes, and therefore, if there's a mitzvah to burn kodesh that became tameh, there's a mitzvah to burn truma that became tameh. So that's the machlokas Rashi and Tosos, where exactly this mitzvah comes from. Not bihudan madura. Kama or Chaim Simtas Vav points out that there is a difference between the mitzvah of burning chametz and the mitzvah of Srefas Kachem and Srefas Truma, meaning we're enticed to associate the two, especially in light of this discussion of whether it's a mitzvah of Srefa or Biur Bechal Davar, because we know there are sugyas and Maseches Pesachim about that. Is it a mitzvah of Srefa or is it a mitzvah just to get rid of it? So we're enticed to associate the two mitzvahs with each other, but in fact the Nodbi Yehuda writes that they're not the same. When it comes to the mitzvah of burning chametz, there's a chiyuv mitzad abaylim when it comes to the mitzvah of burning chametz. When it comes to Srefas Kachim, it's not totally in the bailim at all. Meaning, let's say I burn somebody else's chametz. Am I mekayim the mitzvah of tashvisu, of burning chametz? So it says Nodbi Yehuda, probably not. It's a mitzvah on me who owns the chametz to burn my own chametz, not to burn somebody else's chametz. But let's say there's truma tameya, and it's not my truma tameya, it's somebody else's truma tameya. There would still be a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to rid the world of truma tameya. Very different characteristics to the mitzvahs. So the Gemara, okay, right now has this question. Where do we find that the Torah says that one is permitted to be nehene from truma tameya while he's burning it, that you're allowed to burn it and you're allowed to get hanah from it while you're burning it? We're going to have three possibilities. Number one, we do Rav Nachman. Dam Rav Nachman Ram Rabar Vua Markra. Pasuk says, Vani hine nasati lcha es mishmeres trumosai. Trumosai is plural. So what kinds of trumos are there? B'shtei trumos akasa medaber. There are two types of truma. Achas truma tahora, v'achas truma temeya. There's truma tahora and truma temeya. And what are we saying about both of them? Pasuk says, Vani hine nasati lcha. I've given them to you. So apparently we're allowed to benefit both from truma tahora and from truma temeya. V'am rachmanu lcha. Shelcha tehe lahasika tachas tav shilcha. That even truma temeya, which is asr midaraisa to eat, you're still allowed to benefit from. How are you allowed to benefit from it? While you burn it, you can use that fire for your own benefit. You can use that fire to cook your dinner while you're burning it. Lahasika tachas tav shilcha. Frek Tosos, wait a second. We already used this drasha of the double trumos for a different limud, Maseches Bechoros. Maseches Bechoros in Daf Lamed Daled, we darshin that achas truma Torah va'achas Teluya, not about Truma Tahora and Truma Tameya, but Truma Tahora and Truma that's Safek Tahar, Safek Tameh, that in both of those cases, Yanichena b'makom ha'mutzna v'olo b'makom ha'turfa. There is a discussion of when you can expose, if ever, when can you expose Truma to potential Tuma? Do you always have to protect your Truma? So if you have Truma Tahora, certainly you need to protect it very, very carefully. If you have Truma Tumeya, well, what's the point of protecting it from Tuma? It's Tame anyway. What about Truma Tuluya? So the Gemara darshins, you need to put it in a protected place, not B'makom HaTurfa, because you're not allowed to be Gorim Tuma to Truma. How do we know that? Because the Pasuk says, same Pasuk, V'ani Nein Esadichas Mishmeres Truma Osai. There has to be a Mishmeres on two types of Truma. Truma Tahora needs a Mishmeres, obviously, and even Truma Tuluya needs a Mishmeres. So Frek Tosos, don't we already make this drasha from Truma Osai? Tosos says, yeah, the word Truma Osai is going on both parts of the first half of the Pasuk. First half of the Pasuk is, V'ani Nein Esati Lecha, Es Mishmeres. Then Truma Osai is going both on the Lecha and on the Mishmeres. The Gemara in Bechoros is darshaning how you can have a Mishmeres on two types of Truma. Yeah, you can have a Mishmeres on two types of Truma, a Mishmeres on Truma Tahora, and a Mishmeres on Truma Tuluya. What we're darshaning now is, how can both Trumos be Lecha? How can you have two types of Trumos that are both for you to benefit from? So that's Truma Tahora, which you're allowed to eat, and Truma Tameya, which you're allowed to be Masik Tachas Tavshilcha, you're allowed to use as a fire for your own benefit. So they're focusing on different words in the first half of the Pasuk, and that's why these two drashos are not a contradiction to each other. So that is answer number one of where we find that you're allowed to, even as there is a mitzvah to burn truma, you're allowed to benefit from the burning of the truma. Possibility number two, vi'i ba yisema, mid Rabbi Avohu. Maybe we learn it from Rabbi Avohu. Dam Rabbi Avohu, am Rabbi Yochanan, v'lo biyarti mimenu bitame. Part of the vidui maisos that a person has to say is that I was not mevayrit bitame. I did not destroy it, maiso sheni bitame. Whether I was tame, whether it was tame, meaning I didn't eat it while I was tame, nor while it was tame. So mimenu iatamavir, avalatamavir, shemen shaltruma shenitmeis. So you're not allowed allowed to be mavir it, meaning maaser sheni, but apparently you are allowed to be mavir shemen shel truma that became tame. So we see from there that you're allowed, that there is when you have the requirement of burning truma tameya, that you're allowed to get anah from it. Ve'ema mimenu yatamavir avatamavir shemen shel kodesh enitma. No, maybe it's teaching us the following. Maybe it's telling me not to contrast maaser sheni with truma. Maybe the pasuk doesn't say truma. The pasuk just says there's some din that's specific to maaser sheni. Maybe its intention is not to contrast maaser sheni to truma. Maybe its intention is to contrast maaser sheni with kodesh that became tamei. How do we know that it's trying to contrast with truma? So lav kal v'chomer hu. Ma maaser akal amra Torah lo biarti menu b'tamei kodesh chomer lo kol shkein. No, it has to be that kodesh, you're not allowed to be, has the same din, the same chumra as maaser sheni. That if lo biarti menu b'tamei applies to maaser sheni, then for sure it would apply to kodesh, which is more chamur than maaser sheni. So says the Gemara, Ihachi truma nami le makavu chomer. Well, that same kavu chomer you could say for truma also. Truma is more chomer than maaser sheni also. So if the halach is lo biarti menu b'tamei by maaser sheni, then it would also be true by truma. So how can you say that it's by kodesh and not by truma? Says Gemara, well, haksiv mimenu. But there's a drasha that says mimenu to dafka tell me this chumra applies to maaser sheni and not to something else. So if it has to, if the chumra has to apply to something and not apply to something, so it's logical to exclude truma. Says Gemara, why is it any more logical? Umar isa, why is it any more logical to exclude truma and include kodesh? Maybe I would think that it's logical to exclude kodesh and include truma. How do you make that choice of which one to apply the chumra to and which one to apply the kula to? How do you decide? You just know that there's a pasuk by maaser sheni, and you know there are two other dinim that we have to figure out. There's truma and there's kodesh. So who told you that truma should get the kula and kodesh should get the chumra? Meichitesi, that it should work that way. So says the Gemara, because if you have to decide which one of those two choices, truma and kodesh, is going to get a chumra and which one is going to get a kula, mistavra kodesh lo mimaitna. It's most mistaver that kodesh is going to get the chumra, because we find shekein simin pank akas. We find six chumras by kodesh that we don't find by truma, and because of those six chumras, we assume that we can assume the chumra in any drasha by kodesh. What are the six chumras by kodesh that we don't have by truma? Number one, pigle. There's a concept of pigle by kodesh. If a person does one of the avodas of the carbon with the machshava to be ochel chutz l'zmano, so that makes it pigle for which you chayiv kares. There's no such concept by truma. No, sir, if a person leaves some of the carbon over past the designated zman that you're allowed to eat the carbon, it becomes no, sir, meaning not when you have machshava chutz l'zmano, but when it actually is chutz l'zmano, that's an isra of no, sir. Carbon, it's called a carbon, so that's unique by kodesh. Truma is not called a carbon. Mi'ila, it's subject to mi'ila. A carbon is subject to mi'ila. Truma is not subject to mi'ila. Vikares, there's an iser kares. If a person eats kadshim bitumas aguf, he's chayiv kares. By truma, you're not chayiv kares. We'll see soon, you're chayiv something else. But you're not chayiv kares when you eat truma bituma and asr la onein. Kadshim is asr for an onein to eat. Lo achalti ba'oni mimenu. One is not allowed to eat kadshim when he is an onein. So these are six chumras that we dafka have. We learn it from, obviously, lo achalti ba'oni mimenu is by meiser. So we learn it from a kal v'chomer from meiser that it's asr for an onein. That if meiser is asr for an onein, kal v'chomer kadshim. But truma is mutter for an onein. The Gemara has a special drasha in Mesach Sivamis that tells me that truma is mutter for an onein. So these are six chumras by kadshim. So why are we so machmir by kachim? Because look at these six chumras, the Torah is machmir by kachim. Says Gemara, well, truma has its own set of chumras also. Adrabba, truma lo meitna, shekein machpaz simin. Truma has four chumras that are symbolized by the letters mem, ches, pe, zayin. What are the four chumras of truma? Number one, misa. If a person eats truma when he's tamei, if a kohen eats truma when he's tamei, or a zar eats truma, so the halacha is he's chayiv misa bidei shemayim, which is not the same as karis. Misa bidei shemayim is a little lighter than karis. Rashi points out in Dibur Maschil the karis over here when he talks about kachim being bekaris la ochla betumas aguf utruma b'misa bidei shemayim yomav niktsarim aval eino holech hariri. Difference between karis and misa bidei shemayim is that karis is not only do you die young, but the person is holech hariri, doesn't have children, whereas Misa Bidei Shemayim, it's just dying young, but there's no secondary punishment or there's no additional punishment of Holech Hariri by Misa Bidei Shemayim. But still, there's such a chumrah of Misa Bidei Shemayim that you have by Truma, so that's considered to be a chumrah of Truma that it's Misa Bidei Shemayim. Number two, Chomesh, there is a halacha of Chomesh. If a person eats Truma, if a Zar eats Truma b'shogeg, the halacha is he has to pay it back and add an extra chomesh, add an extra 25% when he pays it back. Ve'ein lo pidyon, there's no pidyon to take truma and turn it into chulin. By kodesh, you could be poda kodesh. If let's say you have a behema of kachim that develops a mum, so you're allowed to be poda before the shchita. Once it's nishchat, you can't be poda. It's already kachim, there's no turning back. But before it's nishchat, you're able to be poda kachim, you're not able to be poda truma. And Vasura Lazarin. The halacha is that truma is asur for zarim. No non-kohen is ever allowed to eat truma. By kachim, that's not so. By kachim, la'achar zrika, by Meiser Behema, Toda, Shlom, kachim kalim, la'achar zrika, a non-kohen is allowed to eat kachim. So you don't have such a din by kachim, but by truma you have such a chumra. So bottom line is, we're back to our question. If we have to be machmir by one and not by the other, why do we choose to be machmir by kachim and not by truma? They each have their own set of chumras, so you can't tell me that kachim is more chamur than truma. Answers the Gemara, sure we can. Hanach Nefishin. They each have their own set of chumras, but how many chumras did kachim have? Kachim had six chumras. How many chumras did truma have? Truma only had four chumras, so that's enough. The fact that Hanach Nefishin is enough. Now, I was thinking, wait a second, forget about Hanach Nefishin. Take a look at a single chumrah. Take a look at the chumrah of the onesh by each one. So what do we say is the chumrah by kachim? That you're chayiv kares. And the chumrah by truma is that you're chayiv misa bidei shemayim. Just between those two, which one is worse? Rashi already told us. Kares is much worse than misa bidei shemayim. Shouldn't that alone be a dead giveaway? The kachim is more severe than truma? So the Merom Sada, the Netziv, the Merom Sada says that the point is when Rashi tells us that Misa Bidei Shemayim Lazara Ochla Kohen Tamei, so his point is to tell me that before Zrika by Kachim, there's no Isser Kares. Whereas by Truma, right off the bat, it's Misa Bidei Shemayim. So maybe the fact that it's Misa Bidei Shemayim is a Chumra over the Kares of Kachim, because the Kares of Kachim is limited in its time. So the Chi of Kares only kicks in after the Zrika by Kachim, whereas the Chiv Misa Bidei Shemayim by Truma kicks in earlier. So it's not just a slam dunk that Kachim has to be worse because it has Kares and Truma only has Misa Bidei Shemayim. What ultimately decides it is that Kachim has six things and Truma only has four Chumras. That's what ultimately decides it. Now there's a very strange Rashi over here. One word Rashi, Nefishin, says Rashi, Bishem. What does that mean, b'shem? Nefishin is not b'shem. They're more yisurim. What does the term b'shem mean over here? So I saw somewhere. Yeah, the Shar Mitzion Balachi writes in the name of the Gra that the Chidushei Gra is mefarish, that Rashi says b'shem was really a Rashi. Originally, what Rashi had written was beiz shin mem with a shmidjik, and it was a Rashi tevis b'shtei malos. That it's nefishin b'shtei malos. What does it mean? There are six chumras of kachim, four of truma. So that's two more by kachim than you have by truma. Nefishin beis shin mem b'shtei malos. Elamai, someone didn't know what that was about. Beis shin mem. What does that stand for? So they took away the little lines and they said, oh, beis shin mem b'shem, and it somehow got printed here b'shem with the mem sofis. They turned the mem to a mem sofis. But that's what it means. B'shtei malos, that it's with two additional elements of kachim over truma. Or the second possibility, like we said before, just the fact that it's chayiv kares. Now, why didn't we say that in the first place? So that was the Merom Sada that we just mentioned before. Why don't we just say that anush kares? But that's the other way of looking at it, is that kares is always adif. Kares is always more chamur. Good, as Rashi points out, that it's the Yom of Nechrasin v'Halech Hariri, which you don't have by Misa B'dei Shemayim. That was all within the second approach of the Gemara. Third approach of the Gemara now, Rav Nachum Rav Yitzchak Amar, Amar Kra Titein Lo V'lo La'oro. Mechlal Debas Orohu. Pasuk says Titein Lo, so, but we say Lo V'lo La'oro, that to him, give it to the Kohen, give Truma to the Kohen, but not for him to put in a fire. So what do we see from there? That it's Bas Orohu, that it's something that could be put in a fire if it becomes Tame. See Rashi, Reish Tegancha Titein Lo V'lo La'oro, Mikan Shein Tarmin Min HaTame Ala Tohar. From here we learn that if you have Tahar Truma, and you have Tame Truma, don't give the, you have Tahar produce, and you have Tame produce, don't give the Kohen the Tame produce as the Truma. Because you're not supposed to lechatchila give Truma that is Tame, just so that the Kohen could use it as firewood. No, ideally the Truma you give to a Kohen should be Tahar. That's what we're learning from here. But what we see parenthetically is that if you do have Truma that's Tameh, then the Kohen is allowed to use it La'oro. Then he can use it for his firewood and benefit from it in that way. It's just that as a L'chadchila Din, you're not supposed to give him Truma Tameh. L'chadchila, you should try to make see to it that what you're giving him is Truma Tahora. Tosus on the top over here says, wait a second, it doesn't say the word la'oro in the pasuk. The pasuk says, v'yimtomer midi v'lo la'oro k'siv, ema titen lo v'lo davashen roi lo klal. Why don't we darshan like this? You should give him truma tahora, not v'lo la'oro. Maybe the drasha should be, and not something that he can't use. You should give him something usable, not something that's so minimal that he can't even use. So he says, V'yeshlam adim kein lo lichtov ela titein. To tell me that it has to be something usable, that it has to be something substantial, it doesn't need to say titein lo. It should just say titein. And titein means giving. De'in nesina pachs mishavapruta. Whenever we have a mitzvah nesina, it's always at least a shavapruta. It always means something usable, something substantial. The fact that it says lo, that's already a drasha. Lo v'lo la'oro. That's reminiscent of the Nadav Yehuda. Nadav Yehuda points out that there are two mitzvos of Truma. There's a mitzvah hafrasha, and then there's a mitzvah nesina. That's how the Nadav Yehuda resolves the seeming contradiction between the fact that the halacha is by Truma, chita achas poteres kol akri, one stalk of wheat, and you're ready yotzei the mitzvah of Truma, that could exempt your whole, all your grain that you have in the world with one stalk of wheat. And on the other hand, we say that you have to give a kedei nesina, that you have to give a substantial amount. Well, which is it? Is it a chita achas, or is it a kedei nesina? So the Yehuda points out that he was mechadesh, because he didn't have a tosas rid, so he didn't realize the tosas rid was already mechadesh, that there are two mitzvahs in Truma. There's a mitzvah hafrasha, just to separate the Truma, and therefore fix your tevel, and then there's a mitzvah of nesina to the Kohen. The mitzvah safrasha you could get with chita achas, just a single stalk. But nesina? Nesina always needs a kedei nesina, always needs a substantial amount, a chashva amount, so that you would have to have at least a shavapruta. That's why you can't give pachos mi shavapruta of truma. Period. Rabbi Shmuel Omer. So then the Mishnah went on to tell us that Rabbi Shmuel limited what kind of oil one is allowed to use. So Rabbi Shmuel said, we're not allowed to light be'itron because of Kavada Shabbos. So what is this about itron? What is itron? So my taima, Amar Rava mitoch sherecho ra. Rava says the problem with itron is that it smells awful. And gzera shemiyani chenavi yetze. We're afraid that if you light with itron, you're going to leave the room and you're not going to stay by the candles. So that's why you shouldn't light with a foul-smelling candle. Very reminiscent of the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara tells us you're not supposed to use foul-smelling schach, because of a chashash, that shemi yetze, that you're going to leave the sukkah because you're not going to be able to stand it, the smell of the schach. The difference between the two is, Rav Yosef Engel points out in Gulamei Hashas, the difference between the two is that over here it's clearly a dintar abanan, that it's a gzeira, lest you walk out of the room where the candle is lit, whereas by the schach it's probably a dintar raisa, because by sukkah there's a din of teshvuke and teduru, that you have to make the conditions of the sukkah livable conditions, the conditions that you would normally live in your house. And that's a dindar raisa, teshvu kein teduru. But sukkah's teshvu, midashin teshvu kein teduru, that's a dindar raisa. So if you have schach that smells, it's probably possible even midar raisa. It's not just gzeira that you're going to walk out, it's a dindar raisa that it's a violation of teshvu kein teduru. But it's still reminiscent because the smell, we assume, is going to drive you away from the mitzvah. So Amalei Abaye v'yetze. So Abaye says, so big deal. So you leave the room. What's the big deal? You already did your mitzvah, so you leave. So Amalei Shani Yom Hadlakas Ner B'Shabbos Chova. Rava says, no, that's not okay. You can't just leave. Hadlakas Ner B'Shabbos is a Chova. The Amar Rav Nachman Bar Rav Zivda V'Amri La Amar Rav Nachman Bar Rava Amar Rav Hadlakas Ner B'Shabbos Chova. So it's not okay to leave. What are they arguing about over here? Whether you're allowed to leave, you're not allowed to leave. Halakas ner b'shabbos chova. What does chova have to do with whether you're allowed to leave or you're not allowed to leave? So the Beis Halevi explains in the tshuva, very interesting. He says, and we're going to discuss Mirtz Hashem Tuesday night shir a little more detail about halakas ner b'shabbos this week. But the Beis Halevi says fundamentally, if you look in the Rambam quotes the din of halakas ner b'shabbos twice. He quotes it in Perek Hay of Hilchos Shabbos and in Perek Lamed of Hilchos Shabbos, both in the context of the mitzvahs of Kavod Shabbos and the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. So there are two separate kiyumim in the mitzvah of Hadlakas Ner Shabbos. The difference between Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos is that which you do, the Kavod Shabbos, is that which you do in advance of Shabbos. To do something to show a Kavod to the day. That which you do on Shabbos to actually enjoy Shabbos, that's a din of Oneg Shabbos. The mitzvah Hadlakas Neros is both. You light it in advance of Shabbos to show that I'm doing a maisa before Shabbos, l'kavod Shabbos Kodesh, even if I'm not enjoying it. The point is I'm doing something special for Shabbos, and then when you actually enjoy the lights on Shabbos, that's a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. He says, and maybe that's the machlokas. When you light candles, maybe the sheet of Abaye is, yeah, you light candles, it's a din, kavod Shabbos. So you already did, you didn't kavod Shabbos. Who says you have to sit by the candles and actually enjoy them? There's no such din like that. And Rava says, yes, there is. There's a second element of lighting of Hadlakas Ner Shabbos, and that is Oneg Shabbos. So you're right. Maybe you did Kavod Shabbos when you lit them, and who cares how they smell, and who cares that it's going to chase you out of the room? You already did your Kavod Shabbos. But Rava says, that's only me did Kavod Shabbos. What about Oneg Shabbos? Oneg Shabbos you still need to have. So we don't want you to run away. We want you to be in the room so that you can enjoy the Oneg Shabbos of the candles. This might happen nafkamina la halacha. If let's say you have a couple who is blind and they have should they light Neir Shabbos? We just had on the DRS Shabbaton, we had a scholar in residence, Lavi Greenspan, who happens to be blind. So he spoke about his various challenges. So what if you have someone who's, let's say, blind and living alone, or a couple that both partners are both husband and wife are blind, and they somehow manage to live on their own when they're blind? So is there a mitzvah of Hadlakas Neir Shabbos? So one perhaps might argue that midin oneg Shabbos. Vaday not. What kind of oneg is it? Now, if someone is helping them, so then definitely there would be a mitzvah of oneg Shabbos, because we assume, Lavi told me many years ago that he once asked, should he make the bracha pokeach ivrim every morning, because he can't see? And the answer is that the poskim say, of course he does, because other people who can't see are able to help him out. So the fact that people can see is something that benefits his own life. So you would make the bracha. So we have such a concept that for the oneg Shabbos, if someone there is able to use the light to be able to see, to help the person out, so that's certainly an oneg Shabbos, so you would get the mitzvah. What if there's no one else there? So if you say that the din is purely a din of kavod Shabbos, maybe there would still be an inyan to light the neros. Now it happens to be the Magen Avraham seems to be pretty explicit in Zilberstein quotes this shayla about the blind people, and he quotes a Magen Avraham that's pretty explicit that you would not light Neros Shabbos, that if the one is not going to be able to enjoy them at all, that there would be no Chi of Hadlaka. So he says, even though based on the Beis Halevi, it sounds like maybe there should be, but it's hard to say to make a bracha on something with the Beis Halevi against the Magen Avraham and against the Mishnah Berurah. So Pashtus says they would not make a bracha, at least, even if they would light, they would not make a bracha on such Neros. But that all relates to this issue of what the nature of the mitzvah of Hadlaka is. Now, a couple of important points in Tosfos over here. First, Hadlakas Ner Shabbos Chova, the smaller Tosfos about Hadlakas Ner Shabbos Chova, Pirish b'makom Su'uda, the Chova hi sheyisar b'makom aner mishum oneg. Avol me Hadlakas Ner Gufei lo av aparacha by the pshita de Chova hu. Detan al gimla veros nashe meisel, so shein zivus b'Hadlakas Ner. Meaning clearly Abaye agrees that Hadlakas Ner Shabbos is a Chova, and that's not something that he would ever question. The question is, do you have to have it there in the room when you eat? Does it have to be the lights that you enjoy on Shabbos? So, because, but the fact that you have to light something, Pashas again, the fact that you have to do something with covet Shabbos, that he's not questioning. The question is, what about the oneg Shabbos? You have to actually enjoy it in the room where you're going to be eating, where you're going to be using on Shabbos. These next Tosos also raises a few interesting points. He says the fact that we call something a chova. So what kind of language is that, chova? Is that more significant than regular mitzvah? Or is that less significant? Is that less impactful? Is that less of a chiyuv, so to speak, than a regular mitzvah? So says Tosfos, chova is a lighter expression. It does not carry the same weight as a regular mitzvah. The word chova, as it's used in Shas. Why do we call washing before Shabbos? We're about to read that. That's the next line of the Gemara. Rechitz yadayim v'raglayim v'chamin arvis is... Rishus va'ani omer mitzvah. Well, but we'll see in a second. So why would we call rechitzas yadayim chova? So says Tosos, zolavi kol kach mitzvah, because it's not such a mitzvah. It's not like an absolute requirement. Umayim achronim kari lechova. Why do we call mayim achronim chova? Mishum sakana demel sedomus v'shahargu nefesh v'chamiri tfei min arishonim. That in a certain sense it involves a sense of sakana. So it's not primarily the mitzvah element. It's the sakana element. So in that sense, we want to emphasize its value. V'yesha rotzim lomar, but there are those that want to say that the word chova means that it's not a real mitzvah, so you wouldn't make a bracha on it like you would on a regular mitzvah, just like mayim achronim chova, and you don't make a bracha on mayim achronim, so maybe you shouldn't make a bracha on adlakas ner Shabbos either for that same reason. It says, there's a big difference between mayim achronim and adlakas ner Shabbos. Mayim achronim is just to protect you from the potential sakana, from the danger of the melech sedomis. Aval adlakas ner hi chova shel mitzvas onek Shabbos. It's a chova of onek Shabbos, meaning there's a kiyum mitzvah, there's some positive mitzvah that comes out of hadlakas neros, and that is that you get to enjoy Shabbos more. V'kama chovos hein detoan and bracha. And there are a lot of things that are chovos that aren't technically mitzvah that require a bracha. He says, and also the other reason that people like to give, that maybe that you shouldn't need a bracha on Lux Nero Shabbos, is that let's say the light was already on, so maybe you wouldn't have to turn it off and relight it again to be mekayim the mitzvah. So therefore, the hadlaka is not the mitzvah. Having the light is a mitzvah. He says, ein nira. I don't think that's true, that would take away the chi of bracha, for two reasons. He says, first of all, even if that's true, that you don't have to relight it when the light is already on, but we do find other mitzvahs that you don't have to redo if it's already done like that, and still you make a bracha. By kisoy adam, let's say the wind blows some dirt over the blood, so you don't have to recover it while it's already covered, but if you have uncovered blood and you're doing the mitzvah of kisei adam, so you do have to make the bracha. I once had the opportunity to make that bracha, so you do make a bracha on kisei adam after they shecht ofos or chaya. You do make a bracha, even though if it were to be taken care of by nature, just by the wind blowing, and it would have been taken care of on its own, you wouldn't have to do it. The halacha is, let's say someone is born with the bris mila. So there's one shita that holds you don't need to do any maisa, just leave it be. You don't even need to be mativ men adam bris. So you don't make any bracha on mila, because if he was nolad mahol, you wouldn't have to do anything. No, everyone holds that you make a bracha on mila. The fact that something, if you found it a certain way already, you would not have to do any maisa, doesn't tell me that when you do a maisa, there's no bracha. Still, when you're going to do the maisa, there's bracha. So true, even if it's true that if you find the lights on, you don't have to light specially the Kavod Shabbos, but when you do light the Kavod Shabbos, you make a bracha, just like by Mila, and just like by Kisui Adam. So that's one reason why he rejects the argument. The other reason he rejects the argument is, near Lerbein Tam, he says at the end, who says that that's true? That if you find the lights already on in the room, that you don't have to turn it off and relight it? He says, I think you do have to turn it off and relight it. You do have to turn the lights off and relight. Why? Why do you have to turn it off and relight it? It's that same issue the Beis HaLevi raised. There, it's if the mitzvah is purely a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, so the lights are on, leave them on, you'll enjoy them on Shabbos. What difference does it make? Why would you have to turn them off and relight it? No, but it's that additional element of Kavod Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos, you're only going to be Yotzei if you actually do a mice of the Kavod Shabbos. You have to do something in advance. So that's why you'd have to turn it off and relight it. It comes up in all these issues relating to Neir Shabbos. You always go back to that same Chakira, those same Tzvei Dinim of Hadlakas Neir Shabbos, of Kavod Shabbos and Onik Shabbos. Well, we're right in the middle of something here in the Gemara. Let's get back in the Gemara. So again, Rav Nachman bar Rav said in the name of Rav, Hadlakas Neir B'Shabbos is Chova, Rechitzas Yadayim Raglayim B'Chamin Arvis Rishus. But bathing in advance of Shabbos, but washing your hands and feet at least, is Rishus. V'ani omer mitzvah, but I think it's a mitzvah. My mitzvah? What's the mitzvah? Dom Rav Yudam Rav. This was the minhag of Rabbi Yehuda bar Ilai. Erev Shabbos mevin lo areva mlei achamin. They would bring him a tub of water on Erev Shabbos. Verochets panav yadav raglav, and he would wash his hands, his face, and his feet. Umisatef, and he'd wrap himself up v'yoshiv b'sadin ha'mitzuyotzin, and he would sit in a talus, a nice talus with tzitzis. V'domel malach Hashem tzvakos, and he looked like a malach Hashem tzvakos. V'yitalmidav mechavim menu kanfik susan. But the talmidim that were sitting in front of him would hide the corners of their garments, because they didn't have tzitzis on the corners of their garments. Samlahen, b'ni lo kach shanisi lechem sadin b'tzitzis b'sham epotim b'silol mechayvin v'alach k'divr b'silol. He says, I don't understand you guys. Why don't you have tzitzis on your garments? Didn't I teach you that whether linen is chayvin tzitzis machlokas b'sham b'silol? B'sham says no, b'silol says yes, and we paskin like b'silol. So what are you doing? Why don't you guys have tzitzis? V'inu savri, they held gzeru mishum k'sos layla. They held that they shouldn't have because of a gezeira mishum ksos laila. Rashi points out talmidim shayu osin sover nihida alach kveisil v'chayv midar raisa. They agreed that midar raisa it's chayiv, but they thought mihu rabbanon gazerbu mishum ksos laila shemiyelo ksos shemiyuchal leilos v'yatil botzitzis v'nimtza lovish klayim shelo b'makom mitzvah. They were afraid that they don't want to put shatnas in their tzitzis, even though midar raisa you're allowed to have shatnas in your tzitzis, because what if you have a nighttime beged that's not really chayiv in tzitzis? And then they're going to have shatness in the nighttime beged, and it's going to be shatness shalom b'makom mitzvah. Meaning the machlokas b'sham beis hillel is that beis hillel holds you're allowed to have shatness in your tzitzis, and therefore, no matter what, sadin b'tzitzis is chayiv. Beis Shammai held it's potter, even though tzitzis is a chiyuv on all talisos that a person has, even if it's munach b'kufsa, when it's made out of pishton, it's potter, because we don't permit shatness in tzitzis. So these talmidim held, you're right, we do permit shatness in tzitzis, but that's only when you're getting the mitzvah of tzitzis. But what if it's ksos laila? Then you're not going to be getting the mitzvah of tzitzis, then you're just going to be in violation of shatness. So they thought it was a gezeira that they should stay away from having any shatness whatsoever in tzitzis, lest they come to a situation of ksos laila where someone might accidentally put shatness in their tzitzis. Now this idea, Rabbi Yehuda bar Ilai, comes up in Halach and Shulchan Aruch, and some Reish Samech, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, what do we say, Rabbi Yehuda bar Ilai? He would wash his hands and his face and his feet in advance of Shabbos. Says Shulchan Aruch, mitzvah lirchotz panav yadav ragla b'cham in Erev Shabbos. It's a mitzvah to wash your hands, face, and feet in warm water in Erev Shabbos. The Ramah adds in, after the word lirchotz, before panav yadav, Ramah adds in, mitzvah lirchotz kol gufo. The mitzvah is really to wash your whole body. If you can't, then you wash part of yadav raglav. What's the point of contention over here? Well, we have one of the Gedolei Amoraim, Rabbi Debar Eloi, and he's Gedolei Atanoim, and he only washed part of yadav raglav. So it sounds like the Mechaber, that it's only mitzvah. How could he ignore the mitzvah to wash kol gufo? So the Aruch HaShulchan points out that you have to know a little bit more about Rabbi Yehuda bar Ilai. The Gemara in Daf Mem Tesam Beis says that he used to suffer from these terrible headaches, and the Beis HaMerchatz was very bad for his health. So for him, it was Yefshar, though. It was Yefshar to go to the Beis HaMerchatz, because he had health issues. So for him, it was Panav Yadav Raglav. But for everybody else, certainly as the Lechachila din, it should be Kol Gufo. The Bir Alacha points out over there in the beginning of Resh Samach, what you see from this Gemara is that this is a mitzvah even for someone who's Tarasu Umnaso. That's what the Mice of Rabbi Rabbi Yulai adds, that even though he's Tarasu Umnaso, still it's a mitzvah to take time to get prepared for Shabbos. Let's go a little weiter. Tiznach Mishalom Nafshi Nashisi Tova. My Vatiznach Mishalom Nafshi. What is the reference to Shalom Nafshi? Am Rabbi Yavo Zu Hadakas Ner B'Shabbos. Hadakas Ner B'Shabbos is considered Shalom. We discussed the element of Kavod, the element of Oneg, but now the Gemara highlights a different element, and that is Shalom. When a person lights Ner B'Shabbos, it creates a sense of Shalom Bayis. People aren't going to be tripping all over the place, Rashi points out. So that's the Shalom element which may be part of the oneg, but it's the shalom element of Neir Shabbos. Nashisi tova, Am Rabbi Yom Yazu Beis HaMerchatz. What's this tova? It's a the Gemara is going to have four opinions. First opinion is it's a Beis HaMerchatz. The Bach adds in Rabbi Chiya Baraba, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Zu Rechitz Yadayim Raglayim B'chamin. No, it's a reference to washing your hands and your legs with warm water. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, Amar Zu Mitana V'Kelim Na'im Shalaha. It's a reference to a nice bed and nice kelim on it. Rabbi Abba Amar Zumita Mutsa'as V'Isha Mekushatas L'Talmidei Chachamim. He says, no, it's a reference to a set bed and a woman who's Mekushatas for Talmidei Chachamim, to have a wife who's Mekushat, who's decked out in nice jewelry. The Gemara in Taina says, my time enough to bid to Demar Mekushatas. Gemara says, why is it that a Talmud Chacham's wife should dress up nicely? That it has this advantage that will keep his eyes away from another woman. So the Kedusha Rashba says that's lashon kshot atzmecha, that it should be hogenus b'maisim, not just in a physical way, but that the maisim should reflect a sense of adornment, adorned with maisim tovim, maisim naim. The Gemara we're going to start tomorrow is going to discuss the definition of ashirus. How do we define what is an ashir in Judaism? Okay. Thank you.